coming. Rod Forrest.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
it. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss. Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown Bears.
An OP show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, it feels like we just left, gentlemen. Great to be back with you. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Harmon, steering the ship here. Phenomenal, phenomenal opener. Could have, should have, would have almost ended in a Bears victory, but the Bears.
So is this a green ribbon then? Is that what you're saying?
Participation trophy for everyone, Scott. Let's just start right there. They lost 23-17. The Falcons beat them as the Bears are 0-1. Atlanta 1-0. OB, I know you want to start, so yeah, go ahead. Welcome.
I sure do. First of all, from all of us here, to all those people down in Florida, that Hurricane Irma, there's going to wind up some people losing everything they've worked for, loved for, cherished, and it's all going to be gone. And I'm going to tell you something. Again, our hearts and prayers go out to you people. Just hang tough if you can. Now to the game. Number one, I want to say to the Chicago Bear fans, and I've been saying this for a pretty long time, folks, there's nobody like you. You're the best. You came today. You brought it all four quarters. You cheered this team on, come hell or high water, and kudos to you. Now, number two, the Bear players. Congratulations to you guys for not giving up, for playing your hearts out for four quarters, and you almost had the victory. And I'm going to get in later to why we did not. But again, to the fans, you're the best. To the players, you guys brought it. Congratulations on that. Just keep it rolling, guys. Keep it rolling. But I do want to talk later, and it will be about the coaches.
Amen to all you said, OB. And you're exactly right, Mark. It's in the blink of an eye. Here we are back, opener of the 2017 season. And once again, it's almost like we're going to have to put the record on that we've had the last couple of years. So many mistakes, especially down the stretch.
Danny, they won't give this team a chance to get ready. The exhibition. And it's so frustrating.
You're exactly right, and we're going to get into that, folks. But first, your sentiment about the effort of the players and the fans. It was fantastic. First of all, the defense.
Class act.
It was the defense played their hearts out. They were terrific. They stopped the run. They took it away, and they flustered last year's reigning MVP Matt Ryan. He looked horrible most of the day. And unfortunately, yes, again, no turnovers. But the offense, they did enough. They kept us in it. We were down 10 points going into the fourth quarter. They didn't give up. They kept fighting. But it was a grab bag. You know, some solid execution of small ball, basically. But it was augmented by the electrified play of the kid, number 29, Tarik Cohen. Now, the one thing that's driving me nuts, and I know I'm going to turn it over to you, Kaz, but here's the thing. Cohen was a one-man gang today. He made play after play and moved the chains, gave this offense a huge spark. But most importantly, down the stretch, I don't think he was in the game until the last play of the last six or seven. And he was the best player. And you know what? We love Jordan Howard. He's a good kid. But he would have probably – Tarik Cohen would have caught that ball at the goal line because Jordan Howard, he only caught 60% of the passes he was thrown last year. And that should be an 85-90% catch ratio on little circle routes and swing patterns. But he's not a good pass receiver. Why is he in there when you've got to be able to throw the ball? Now, the one thing is, you brought it up. Once again, we wasted so much quality time in the preseason when we have to find time to develop the timing, the tempo of the precision passing game. We squander it. We act like we don't even care about working on it. And then we get into a game like this today.
And it's helter-skelter because this coaching staff, Dan, for some reason, it's the most idiotic thing I've seen. Last year, it's the same repeat thing. The fourth exhibition game, they don't play anybody. They don't play anybody. I doubt if our so-called first stringers amounted to a game out of four that they played in the exhibition season. And guess what, folks? In the fourth quarter, when we needed it, when it comes to goal line offense, goal line defense, we didn't have it. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. And you know what? John Fox, that's on your head. That is on your head, your offensive and defensive coordinators. How you cannot play what? You're worried about Cody Whitehair getting hurt? This is a joke. You should play these guys. Get them acclimated. And in offense, it's all about the timing and what the hell do you think we lacked out there?
Yeah,
Glenn?
I mean, I would say everything you're saying is correct, but the real simple fact is this. You had the way the game unfolded, Jordan Howard, you know, he's a pound and grind guy. He's not a come out of the backfield catch
the ball. He can't catch the ball.
You have this young rookie lighting him up. He was a one-man wrecking crew, and in the most pivotal moment in the game, he's on the sideline. That is running back coach and the little dwarf on the sideline.
Glenn,
no offense,
this
but
is
I mean,
all.
Just, you know, what are you doing? Play your best players and give them a chance to
win
the game.
Absolutely. Glenn, this should have been figured out before September 10th. All this should have been figured out.
But that's the thing.
If you play this kid, you have a chance. I'm telling you, I believe wholeheartedly, we'll never know. He'd have caught the ball on the goal line and probably would have steamrolled the guy into the end zone.
But they didn't anticipate that this guy would have such a great game, so they can't adjust on the fly. It's General John Fox.
They didn't know. What did they find out in the preseason?
You find out in practice in the preseason,
Let's
Mark.
See it in game one or two or three. Play him. See what he can do. Put him in ISO patterns.
That's
see
the whole
what
point.
See what he can and can't do. What a shocker. We should have known going into this game his capabilities.
And even without, but I think what Mark's getting at, and we couldn't agree more, but what Mark is saying, they still don't have the ability to make adjustments on the fly. For whatever reason, this coaching staff can't go, wow, this kid's lighting it up.
Because they don't practice it, Glenn.
Yeah, but
they don't.
But here's
look
the other-
at the training season, the four exhibition games. They do nothing.
But see, that defies common sense, and that's what we saw down the stretch. Common sense says put your most electric, dynamic player on the field. We've seen it for 50 minutes.
Yeah,
give him
a
chance. Throw him the ball every time. See if somebody can cover him. They haven't done it all day.
Those linebackers and even safeties couldn't cover. They could not cover that kid. And, I mean, he's electrifying. He's going to be fun to watch.
You know what?
If we really know how to use them.
I swear to the Almighty, I was going to come on this show, Mark and your listeners, and I was going to be very methodical, and I was going to go through my one ABCs, two ABCs, three ABCs, and I blew the whole thing up.
I apologize. No, there's no apologies necessary. We had a very peaceful walk from the conference room over to the studio. You were right there, OB, and then the mic went on, and you're OB. That's a beautiful thing. By the way, Hampton OB with Kaz, start of the show, sponsored by Parent Petroleum. Go ahead there, Kaz. What do you got?
No, what I was going to say, though, the frustrating part is you only get 16 chances to win in the National Football League, and the coaches, not the players, because the players played their guts out and they got the plan and they're just going to do it. But this is a coaching error. Your offensive coordinator and your running back coach couldn't get together and go, hey, you know, this kid's lighting it up and they can't cover him. Let's put him in on this drive and see if we could score a touchdown. They weren't smart enough to figure that out.
You know what?
That's on them.
We're in our passing game. And when we come back after the break, I want to give you people some statistics about our passing game last year. It is unbelievable what took place last year. And guess what? Coming into this year, bingo.
Hey, come to WGN-TV, flashback to the 80s, and launch along with the Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garlin. That's weeknights at 10:30 and 11 starting Monday on WGN-TV. Bears postgame continuing, 312-981-7200. Also get you an update on Hurricane Irma in about 2 minutes, too. 720 WGN and CLTV.
Here's a pitch. Tariq Cohen in the game. Tries a reverse field. Gets away from Reed. Cohen sprinting. Bears fans have a new favorite player. That's 46 yards to Tariq Cohen.
That was a sweet play. Boxed in. No, I'm not. Cutting it back. I know, Kaz, you thought that...
it was poor coverage by Atlanta. But again, that's fundamentals. But the kid, he had the speed to get back to the outside. That's rare that players are that fast and that quick to get, you know, go back across the field.
You said the right fast, but the right word, quick. Boy, I tell you, he's here, bang, gone.
And running over guys. I mean, for at 5'6", bowling his way into the end zone?
Yeah, it was,
I mean, that's not how he's going to...
Marcus Truffaut, who's as tough as Pillsbury Doughboys.
Yeah, he got bought by Glennon on the one play.
Glennon body slam. Yeah.
Our quarterback.
Hey, well, let's get to the calls, and we know we got a lot of them out there that want to have an issue with our decision that the coaches are the culpable part of this.
Oh, that's not even that's a given.
312-981-7200, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com. Peter, you've been the most patient. Thank you for waiting on the south side. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree about the coaching decisions, you know, because Howard from last year, he could not catch balls out of the backfield. But he's not a very good receiver. And he dropped a lot of balls last year. And this guy, Cohen, actually, this guy has tremendous hands. He was catching difficult passes from Glennon. And
hey, Peter. He was targeted, I'm talking about Cohen, 12 times and caught 8 passes in traffic. He should have been in there.
Right, exactly. And this is definite coaching. This is because, you think about it, there's only 16 of these games, you know. And every game is like a playoff game. You got to win that. And you said one more thing. I want to ask you guys about Kevin White. What's the deal with him? This guy can't get no separation. He's always seems like he's on the sidelines, injured all the time.
He is injured again, by the way, and it is a shoulder. He's one of those guys that he looks like he had all the speed in the world. He has all the P word potential, but he's never put it together. And you know, I don't think. Unfortunately, I'm not sure he ever will. I just don't know that he has great – well, number one, he can't run routes very well. And number two, if you can't run routes well in the NFL, you won't be able to separate.
Glenn,
no matter how fast you are.
Whenever he gets a ball thrown to him, he drops it. He's constantly hurt. And another thing with this kid, he's got a pretty big mouth. He talks a little bit too much. And I'm going to tell you something. What they ought to do to him, I don't know how they do it contract-wise – give him whatever he got, and put him on a slow boat to China or wherever. Get him out of town.
You know, Peter, you made a great point about Cohen and his ability to catch the ball. Now, not everybody's blessed. You know, Earl Campbell couldn't catch the ball, but he was a Hall of Fame run. So Jordan Howard, he has his assets and his ability. Don't ask him to do things that we know. We saw last year he was incapable of doing when you got a guy standing on the sidelines next to you. We've watched now all afternoon dazzle us with ability to catch and make people miss. And that's what this game's all about.
Peter.
And it's exactly what Kevin White doesn't have.
Right.
Let me just say this. The most important ability for any player in the NFL is availability. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to not only play, but to practice to get better. He has done very little of either one. And you know what? At some point, you just got to say, hey, this kid's either injury prone or he doesn't get it. You can't be waiting all year and hold the team hostage. Josh Bellamy, who we beat up down the stretch last year, how many times did he drop a pass that was critical?
How about when he was
against Green Bay?
They throw him the ball right on the numbers, and he jump up in the air with nobody around on, drop the ball, and fall to the ground.
But today he made a number of critical catches for us.
Down catches.
So he stood up, and he was counted today. Kevin White, zero.
Peter. You caught a big thing there. Let me tell you something. All what we're talking about here, this all should have been settled. We should have known where every player is on offense and what his strengths and weaknesses are, and especially on goal line offense. What package? Who should be in there on this down? Who should be in there on that down? And I'll tell you what we showed today. We did not know. Defensively. Same thing. We got a safety running back there. He doesn't know where the hell he's supposed to be. You want to know why? Because in 4 exhibition games, these guys hardly played.
They played 13 series in 3 games.
You hear me?
It was barely not even one game.
Peter and you listeners, please believe us when I'm telling you, you got to play these guys. I mean, we're not a 13-3 team. We won three games. Defensively, we took 11 takeaways last year, the worst in Bear history. That's next to impossible.
11.
The bottom line
was
is
it what I say.
No, you said 11. Oh, I thought you said 13.
11 takeaways.
You said 11 takeaways.
The worst in Bears history, as you said, OB.
Okay, yes. But let's go a step further. All right, you want Jordan Howard in the backfield as a threat to pound it. Why haven't they developed Cohen in the slot or put him in motion out of the backfield? Let him play some receive. You should know the capability. We don't know. We haven't.
Why don't we know, Dan?
Well, because for 6 weeks we stood around with our thumb up, you know what, saying, folks, we better not get anybody hurt.
What we're telling you is right and true. All you had to go was go down to Kankakee, Bourbonnais, whatever they want to call it, and take a look. And all you have to do is look at four exhibition games, supposedly our front guys, and see how much they played. It's laughable. We're not the New England Patriots. We're the nothings.
But even the Patriots play their players. I mean, you know,
yeah, they do.
They play their players. In fact, they lost one of their, you know, top, their slot receiver, tore out his ACL because he was in the game in the second, you know, almost going into the third quarter in game three. You know,
that's
so
why
they play their players.
And I'll go back in my opening statement. The fans, you guys are the greatest. I got to tell you that. But these kids played their heart out.
They did.
And they didn't have the right offensive set in at the certain situations. Why? Because they didn't know what the hell they were doing, and I'll stand by that statement.
Well, they took a timeout, too, on the final drive when they shouldn't have, if they should have just downed the football. That's exactly game. Right. 312-981-7200. Calvin in Hyde Park, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Calvin. 312-981-7200.
Hey, man, Carlos, what's happening, gang?
How are you?
Hey, look, same horse, same you-know-what from last year, I'll tell you that much. The two things I don't know whether you've seen it or not, Josh Bellamy that dropped the ball in the end zone. I know that was a tough catch, but guess what? This is a man's game. You're getting paid a professional salary, and when you can't catch the ball, take that one-way ticket to call nowhere. Also, when I don't know what happened on defense also, but hey, you got one tight end. He's big as all out there, Soldier Field out there. How in the heck can he get away? And nobody was over there to get him. This makes about as much sense as taking a crap with no paper. You pull up your pants, the smell's still there. Thanks, guys, for taking
Kevin,
the call.
Thanks,
Kevin,
Calvin.
The reason why is, again, and this is a very simple answer, they just don't practice the certain situations. On defense, it's the same thing. Third and short, second and short, third and long, fourth and one, defensive sets. Who's in there? Who's in at the backfield? Who the cornerbacks are? Who's the linebacker? How many linemen? Do we go with four linemen? Do we go with five linemen? Do we go with six backs? Do we go with five backs? This is all stuff that should have been known before we hit the field today, September 10th. Shame on the coaches.
And it looked like they went what you'd call a cover one. Everybody was playing man up. And you had a free safety. So it wasn't even the strong safety's fault as much as the linebacker got rubbed and lost his man. And, you know, I guarantee you, they probably didn't work on it. They jumped into coverage. They probably didn't work on enough.
Absolutely.
312-981-7200. Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Wally, what's going on, Wally? Welcome to WGN.
Hey guys, love the show. I just want to get the guys' thoughts on John Fox in the mini camp, giving the guys the last day off because they came with a good attitude and worked hard. When at the time he had three quarterbacks who had never thrown a pass to anybody else wearing a Bear uniform.
Bingo.
He gives them the day off. He gives them the day off because they worked really hard. He did the same thing last year, and I knew we would get into the first game of the season and these guys would look lost. But he's giving them time off when they've got a mini camp.
Thanks, Wally.
Amazing to me.
Wally,
yeah, you're right.
Wally, you are absolutely correct. There's how else can you look at that situation? Give them a day off. My. What did they practice? 10 days, half days of practice?
In shorts.
Because he thought they were good and that would really be good for their mental attitude.
Come on. They had a good attitude.
Can't make this stuff up, folks.
Ed, you have a good attitude today, so, you know, just take some time off, because I like your attitude.
Glenn, I swear to you, I walked into this room, and on my way walking there, I was walking right behind Mark. I said, I'm going to do it very methodically, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go right down it.
Couldn't do it.
I was sitting there going, oh, man, this is a brutal loss. You're like, what's wrong, son? And then the flip. All right, Hurricane Irma update coming up, more of your calls. And we'll get some sound from the Bears locker room as well.
You know what, Kevin and Wally? Those two guys nailed it.
They did. They did.
Wally nailed it.
On the money, baby. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hey, we'll have Adam Hogue from Soldier Field. Bears did fall to the Falcons 23-17. Hamp and OB with Kaz continuing till 6 on CLTV until 4. All right, guys, here we go. 312-981-7200 as we continue Hamp and OB with Kaz on CLTV until 4 and on WGN Radio until 6. All right.
You're doing a nice job, Mark Carmen Sr.
For your first time.
Carmen Sr.
Wait a minute.
You guys
Who's that? That kid is 27 years old.
You want to take a shot at Marcus Cooper? Go ahead, because that was very fun in the conference room beforehand.
Senior. 27 years old. How'd that happen?
So if you have a kid and you name it after yourself, you can be a senior at 22 or whatever.
Well, when he got to Chicago, he said, add on the senior. Make me, you know, feel that veteran presence, Ham. Come on.
He actually played pretty darn good.
He did play well.
Oh, he's a good player. Yeah. He is a good player.
And I thought that Kyle Fuller looked a whole lot better than what we're used to with Kyle Fuller as of late.
Well, he's healthy.
Call me crazy.
No, he is. He's healthy again, and he covered well, although he got run over by Hooper also.
Hooper body slam.
But at least he's a defensive back. I mean, it doesn't bother me when a DB gets, you know, tussled like that. But when you're a strong safety, you know, there's this image of the guys from Seattle. They'll just come up and drill you. Yeah. Not here in Chicago. You put Hooper out there, nobody wants to tackle him.
Hooper caught two passes for 128 yards. And a touchdown.
It was
sign this kid.
It was all jaws. Hooper. Don't wait for me, Hooper. Let's get Bob and Mundelein on the old show here. Go ahead, Bob. Welcome to WGN.
I'm just thinking, Hooper, there it is. Hooper, there it is.
Hooper, there it is.
Yeah, really. I don't know. I don't know how they let that guy. He couldn't even barely run down the field. They're letting him run down the field like that. But I have a number of points, and I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. We got to get that fast boat to China for White, for one. Two, Howard, what was going on with him in this game? He didn't seem to get started in any running. And like you said, you know, put your hot hand or your hot runner in there. I'm seeing Tariq Cohen standing on the sideline when they're trying to put it in the end zone, and he's standing on the sideline.
Crunch time,
too. It was
too.
A total lack of Bear coaching.
And you got to know your personnel. And you say, well, wait a minute. It's the first game. He's a rookie. No, it's not. It's the fifth game, essentially, that you had a chance to utilize this guy and see what he's capable of. And Jordan Howard, we love the kid. He's humble. He's hungry. He's a great part of this team. He had 13 carries, 52 yards. That's a 4-yard average. That's good. That's a lot better than what Atlanta's backs average. But the bottom line is Cohen had 5 rushes, 66 yards, a 13.2-yard average. The guy is capable of going yard anytime you give him the ball. How do you keep him on the sidelines 6 out of the last 7 plays in a must-win drive? You got to be able to play your best. It's like taking Julio off the field if Atlanta wants to try to score at the end of the game. You wouldn't do that. Why would you take Cohen off or not involve him? And again, you know.
Because they didn't know, Dan.
Yeah, but
the coaching staff didn't know.
If you didn't know, you knew by the end of the game, you knew this kid could play.
Look, if it was Kadeem
Carey. Oh, you're assuming that?
Wait a minute.
With this coaching staff?
I am. That was a big assumption. That, on my
yes.
If it was Kadeem Carey or somebody that nobody was really. But see, it's like Jordan Howard. Oh, we got to have him in there. We got to have. No! You got to put the guy that knows how to make people miss in the mix then, in some form or fashion.
And hit it. That,
if you want to keep Jordan Howard, put him in the slot. Put him in motion out of the back. Do something with him.
But here's the worst part about it is, look, you can make the argument, okay, Howard's in there for protection. But he wasn't in there for protection. He was actually flaring out and going into the flats where this kid all day made a living because the backers couldn't keep up with him. They were putting safeties on him, and he was beating the safeties. So this was just a blunder by the Bears, their offensive coordinator and the running back coach. And I don't care what anybody says, those two guys, in spite of themselves, still – The offense gutted it out and almost punched it in anyway.
Listen, Glenn and everybody here, and to our listeners, Cohen was targeted 12 times. He caught 8 balls. In the critical situation, when you really had to throw the football, this kid was sitting on the sidelines. They should have known better.
Yep.
By now, by this game, they should have known better, folks. That you can't look at it any other way.
Okay, and let me make it a comparison. Yeah, in basketball, I don't want to be the guy shooting a free throw at the end of the game. I just know I'm not. That's not. Well, I don't want Jordan Howard trying to catch the ball at the end of the game. He's not that guy.
Right.
This guy, Cohen, he's the guy.
You don't take the guy out in hoops who scored 20 in the fourth quarter. You don't send up the best player off your bench in baseball when there's two outs in the ninth inning. It's the last drive of the game.
Mark,
it's football 101 here, team. Right.
I want you to answer this question, Mark. This is for you. We won 3 games last year. We go through the whole season, okay? And your people, your main guys, they're not out there in the exhibition season. Why do you play the exhibition season, Mark?
I would think to get ready for the regular season, OB. I'm with you.
Well, we were unprepared for the regular season last year and this year.
That is exact. We were unprepared, folks, and they can swish it, swash it, whatever they want to, paint it colors, whatever. They were wrong. They were wrong last year, and they're wrong this year. And those kids played their damn hearts out.
720 WGN show continuing right after 4 o'clock, and an update on Hurricane Irma coming right up.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Second hour, Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. All right, so the consensus, if you believe Twitter and the text line, is that...
You believe in it, little Twitter man.
I think it is worth bringing up, Kaz, that it seems that most Bears fans thought the Bears were going to get drilled today. They didn't. And there is a minor optimism that the Bears are better than we all thought they would. They are. What do you got on that?
Okay, I think our overarching point is the NFL is such that any given Sunday anybody can win. You know, look at the Texans. The Texans, you know, they had the plight of Harvey Hurricane and all that, and everybody was like, the Texans, they need to make a statement for the community to win, blah, and they get drilled by Jacksonville. So anything is possible. So when we are in the fourth quarter driving with a chance to win, to beat the defending NFC champions, and you squander that opportunity, then we're upset. But there was a lot of good stuff. Glennon, like I said, he played well enough for us to win. The defense, they played well enough for us to win. Akeem Hicks, 2 sacks. He played great, ran out of gas in the third quarter. But there was a lot of really good stuff. Marcus Cooper, senior, he covered Julio most of the day, held him down. All I can tell you is when you are in a game like this, and it was a brutally fought contest, we are so proud of not only the fans and the team, but the spirit and the not give up when we were 10 points down in the fourth quarter. All that is all good stuff. But it don't feed the Bulldog. It's wins and losses, and we squandered a great chance to steal a victory.
Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. Kaz, you want to take who brought it?
You know, I mean, the easy answer is our number 29. But honestly, I think Glennon brought it beyond my expectations.
I'd go to a little broader deal on that one, Glenn and Danny and Mark. And I tell you the truth, that, I mean, don't jump all over me. Who brought it? All those players did today.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, well, that's fair
all
too.
Of them. I saw them. Nobody on offense gave up. Nobody on defense gave up. Those kids played their damn hearts out.
And it goes hand in glove with our contention that this was a game squandered by the coaches. They had a chance to win, and they blew it.
Well, and Ryan Pace talked earlier this week, you know, how are you judging this team? And his first answer was wins and losses. That's what he said, year three of the rebuild here. So he's going to have a decision at the end of the year. We don't need to jump to it. We'll be able to talk to it all season long. But you're not going to bring back John Fox on a one-year deal, so you're either going to extend him or you're going to get rid of him. I mean, that's going to be a big narrative, obviously, going all season long.
And look, there's 15 more chances for the coaches to correct the mistakes that they made, Mark. So, you know, we'll see. Is there some optimism? Sure. We found a little scat back that can come out of the backfield, and it's a hard matchup for defenses now throughout the NFL to match up with this kid coming out of the backfield. That's something that the Bears coaches offensively have to figure out how to use this guy now and get those mismatches, because that's what the NFL is all about. It's matchups.
Well, here, we're going away next week. We're going down to Tampa Bay. And I think if these kids, if they can hold it together, pull everything in themselves, and the coaches make the right corrections and go down there, we could come back and be 1-1, because the third game at home is against Pittsburgh, and then on Thursday night we play the dreaded Green Bay Packers. There's a possibility we could be 0-4. So to this coaching staff and to the players, more so to the coaching staff, get them ready to play. So you're 1-1 when you come back. 0-4 is unacceptable.
And Tampa, by the way, of course, did not play this week because of Hurricane Irma, so it's the opener for the Bucs, which you can debate who has the edge there. It's exciting for them, but the Bears have the experience. I would think edge Bears.
Yeah, when you play a game under your belt, right? Although Tampa prepared better than we did in the first four preseason games.
Well, they can't lose this game, guys. I know it's the first game out of 16, but this is not, you know, we're not playing 100 and some games. We got to go down there and win that damn ball game.
Let's get a couple calls in here. Sean's been waiting patiently. Thank you for your patience, Sean. Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
So great to have you guys back on the air. Unequivocally the best post-game show. Brutally honest, so refreshing. My question for you guys is Hakeem Hicks with that late hit that really, Atlanta went down and scored. It's a whole different ball game if he has the discipline. I haven't heard you guys talk about that. Is that on the coaches, or is that just a mental breakdown?
That's on Akeem Hicks. Okay, like he didn't know that ball was gone, and it took him a good two steps before he hit him. Okay,
but that's discipline that the coaches, you know, again.
But it's also it's self-discipline. This
right,
guy
yeah,
just
right,
this
right.
wasn't his first game. Okay, he's been playing this, and he sacked people before. Glenn, I'm just telling you, that's on him. That was on him. That was dumb, stupid, whatever word you want to use.
Okay. Right, 100%. But there has to be accountability to it.
And Sean, let me just say this. Yeah, you can play a great game, but your mistakes, as costly as that one was, are backbreakers. And I remember Pernell McPhee, what was it, a year ago? We were up in Seattle, and he hits the quarterback after two steps. And they call a penalty, keep a drive going. In a close game, they kind of busted it open. Those things are backbreakers, and you cannot do it. And you know what? And I did that. OB, we did that for a long time. And you got to just know there's an alarm goes off in your head. You can't hit the quarterback. And that's all we talk about now is, we got to protect the quarterback. Well, you as a defensive player have to be aware that they're going to call it, no matter what, if ands or buts. And again,
what
he
did was
hit?
Flagrant. Danny.
Hey, that wasn't Henry Burris that he hit.
That's a bad play.
You know,
yes, it was.
It wasn't some nobody. That was the reigning MVP of the league. They're going to watch it.
OB wants to say something. Let me just say one thing about that call, too. Akeemix was gassed. He shouldn't have been on the field. Now it's on him what he did, but he shouldn't have been out there at that point because he could barely stand up. Go ahead, OB.
Well, first of all,
then get in better shape.
That's fine.
Amen. Okay.
I just want to say before we go to break, there's two guys that are great Bear fans. They're great listeners of our show, and I promise I got to say hello to them, give them a little push. Pete Flaveris and Mark Nussbaum. They're at Pro Paint Cosmetic and Collision in Addison. These guys, they listen, they love our show, and they're great Bear fans, two young guys, very successful. They're great people, a great business. So, guys, thank you for being a Bear fan, and thank you for being a great listener.
And they've never hit anybody late.
Yeah, I'll be over there soon. I cracked my Honda one week in into the wall at Whole Foods. Can't wait to see those guys.
Are you serious?
I did, but it's already been fixed. But I'll probably do something again, OB. Don't worry about it.
Give them time.
my future. I'm a consistent character over here. Let's get John in here on 720 WGN. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I can't get too excited about a Bears game where Tariq Cohen, a 5'6", 180-pound back. I mean, this guy is just a special situation guy and great. He had an awesome first game. I don't think the Falcons were even ready for this guy. I don't think they were even practicing to stop this guy. But I can say one thing. Any NFL team is going to be able to shut this guy down over the course of time. And plus, he's not going to last. There's no way a guy 5'6 is going to last. But besides all that, the Bears, we need players to need to catch balls when you're in the red zone. Yep. I mean, for me, it's like, what are we looking at here? You know, are we looking at a team to develop and go forward in the future? Or what? Or is it going to be patchwork every week, from week to week? It's just going to be a patchwork.
Hey, Johnny, yeah. You're so right. It's unbelievable. You know, that old adage, you know, what is a receiver? What does he get paid to do? Catch the damn football. But it just goes back, and I'm tired of making excuses for this, that, or whatever it is. Boy, oh boy, from last year to this year, it's the same thing, the same mistakes, John. And it happened in four quarters today. Here's a game that we could have won if they used common sense, if they had the certain situations offensively, at certain sets to put certain people in there. They watch what the hell's going on. Cohen had 8 receptions for 12 for a 5.9 yard average, and he was not in the game. He might as well should have been in the studio over here.
And for the record, Darren Sproles has had a 14-year career in the NFL.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I mean, guys can have success at 5'6".
And everybody said Barry Sanders wouldn't last.
Right.
Guess what? He's in the Hall of Fame because he decided to walk away before he was even put out of the game. One last thing.
Go ahead.
I've got to get to it. But listen, here's the thing. You know, and Ryan Pace, you know, you let Alshon go, you let Brandon Marshall go, and guess what? Now we're scraping the bottom, expecting Kevin White to show up as a receiver. There's other cast-off receivers are the best we've got. It's just a matter of time. They're going to collapse on us and cramp us. We've got to have some speed like Cohen in at all times.
This week on Chicago's Best, fried, grilled, or spicy, Chicago Best has you covered on all-new Chicago's Best Chicken. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Update coming up from Hurricane Irma in a minute on 720 WGN.
OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
We're going to hear from the head coach, John Fox, in a matter of moments here. Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. OB, you got something you wanted to
Yeah, for our people, for John and Bob and Wally, Kevin, Pete, Jim. This is a statistic. The Bears roster of right. Our wide receivers, our wideouts, our receivers, our whole receiving core. Wright, Kevin White, Josh Bellamy, Dante Thompson, Marcus Wheaton, and Trey McBride at the time, okay? They combine for the year of 2016 for 98 receptions. Those are our receivers, okay? For 1,185 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's in 2016. That same year, Jordy Nelson for the Green Bay Packers, guess what? He had 97 receptions for 1,257 yards and 14 touchdowns. Now, from 2016 to where we're at now, where's the improvement?
They've gotten
worse. You hear this ridiculous statement? That's our entire receiving corps from 2016.
Well,
our back had
beyond embarrassing, huh?
Our back, our one new back that nobody knew about had 8 catches today. Receivers combined had 9 catches.
This is unbelievable.
That's all of
2016,
them together. Think about
93
that.
Receptions, 1,885 yards. Jordy Nelson, same year for the Packers. 97 receptions, 1,257 yards for 14 touchdowns.
Well, it's one of the reasons why we have 20 tight ends on the roster.
Does the word vomit come to mind?
And we have our receivers today combined for 6 catches, 48 yards.
That's
a really bad day for any
like
receiver.
Danny, here's the point. Didn't know we had a problem with our passing game with our receivers in 2016. And what you just said? And we come out the first opening game, and what do? Nothing.
Kendall Wright caught 3 balls for 34 yards. Josh Bellamy had 3 for
27. But whatever. Basically, we had the wide receivers combined had 1 more catch than our rookie running back that nobody even thought was going to play today, right?
Let's hear from the head coach real quick. Here's John Fox.
Pretty much what I told the team in there is that's a really good football team we played today in the Atlanta Falcons. And, I think right now we're a pretty good football team. Obviously, it's a bitter pill, whenever you're down there knocking and you don't get it done. It was a 1-score game. We had an opportunity to win. Unfortunately, we came up a little bit short. I think to be a good football team, how you respond to moments like this and games like this is going to be critical, and I think we'll respond just fine. Any questions?
And as you go forward, how do you reconcile the competitiveness and the effort today with the fact that you couldn't make that one final play to get it done?
Well, that's the NFL. That's just what it is. Whether it's playoffs, Super Bowl, regular season, you've got to win your close games. And like I said, that was a pretty good opponent we were matched up with as far as, I know offensively probably one of the more explosive offenses in the league. I don't know what their record is being held to 23, but I don't think it's great. So we're not going to lose sight of that. And, how we respond moving forward is going to be key.
What happened to Kevin?
He hurt his shoulder.
Where's the area you think you made the most improvement?
I think really overall, I think the kicking game, it was a big kick early in the game that Connor Barth made. We had a long snapper that's very, very new to us. I thought our protection was good. On offense, I think our 2-minute drills, both at the end of the half and the end of the game, couldn't quite finish the final one, but I think those were positives. I think our defense, other than a couple busts, I think was, pretty good against, a team that's got a lot of weapons.
Kind of on the big bust, on the long TD to Hooper, what's your understanding of what was wrong there?
Well, I think, we had miscommunication on the call. And the particular call we played was not the call we called. I'm not going to throw people under the bus, but obviously we didn't execute it very well.
How close were you to taking the timeout there, just seeing the disarray right before that?
Well, we didn't really think we were in disarray, we didn't realize the disarray until 81 caught the ball.
What did you think of Mike Glennon's play
today? I thought it was good. Like I said, we got room for improvement everywhere. When you come up short, obviously it's a bitter pill, but like our old football team, we played pretty well, but not quite good enough.
How was he able to turn it around, or the big difference in the fourth quarter? Was it just play call?
Well, I think early.
Good enough. Mike Glennon played well. I get it. So he said he wouldn't throw anybody under the bus, but they had the wrong call on the Hooper touchdown, which changed the game.
And the wrong call was made on the field, so there was a miscommunication, basically.
Right. Who's the head coach? I don't know. How do you guys hear that? That's a rough listen right there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the important, and he, as he said, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. Well,
he's just going to run them over.
Yeah. Well, he basically did, and obviously it's Quentin Demps, and it was a blown call because Demps was like single high, and he wanted to help out on Julio, so he turns and jumps that route and turns loose a tight end where the linebackers were basically playing a soft zone underneath, and you can't do that. So again, that's a bust. That if you're going to see it, you want to see it in week 2 of the preseason. But apparently, we don't play enough in the preseason to where we can sort out all these different kinds of defensive calls and make sure we don't have those kind of busts.
Okay. What is, guys, tight ends, we all know it. They're either one, two, or three top receivers on every team. You go right to the big tight ends you got, okay? What does a tight end do? What's his favorite route? Splitting the seam, okay? Whether it's strong or it's weak side. Splitting the seam. It's been done for years. We can't figure that out. We can't figure that a tight end might be coming down in this certain situation, and we don't have anybody back there, and the guy that was back there ran. It's so funny, folks. It's absolutely ridiculous. How do you not cover the tight end? Somebody has them. It's either the strong safety, a weak or a strong side linebacker, or if he flares out, it's the damn cornerback. It's not a mystery, folks.
Adam Hoge's out at Soldier Field. We'll talk to him after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN.
Game on the line right now. Leonard looking in trouble. He sacks! And that's it. The Falcons will hold on and win it. Brooks Reed, the fourth sack of the day for Atlanta, wins it for the Falcons.
Ouch. 23-17, the Falcons survive at Soldier Field. Hamp and OB with Kaz with you till 6 o'clock. We're presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Adam Hoge covers the Bears for WGN Radio. Read his Bears blog at WGNRadio.com. He joins us every Sunday noon kickoff at 4:35. With us now from Soldier Field. Adam, let's start with Kevin White. What do you know on the Bears wide receiver who just can't stay on the field?
Well, John Fox, of course, wouldn't say much about it. They're calling it a shoulder. He left, though, with a sling on his arm, holding that arm up to keep the weight off of it. Don't want to speculate. Does not look good, though, and almost kind of worried if that is a collarbone situation. So Kevin White hurt once again.
And will go down as one of the busts in the first round for the Bears. I mean, you know what? Again, if you can't stay healthy, you can never live up to anything, right?
And first of all, guys, great to be talking to you again this season. Looking forward to it. But, man, this just feels like the same old story today, huh? I mean, was that not exactly like the Titans game last year when you're inside the 10-yard line, down six, and you have four shots at the end zone, and couldn't get it in there. So, and a busted coverage on defense. You know, the defense played a lot better, but you still have that big play, and it's the difference in the game.
Yeah, we were saying it seems to be the same old thing. And, you know, I got to ask you, Adam, did anybody ask Fox, the genius, why the young rookie running back that Atlanta could not cover at all wasn't in the final drive other than a couple of times?
Yeah, he was asked that question, and typical Fox fashion, just kind of jumbled his way through an answer that didn't really answer the question. He pointed to the fact that Cunningham got hurt. Benny Cunningham suffered an ankle injury early in that game, and he was carted off. So that's another bad injury. So he pointed to the fact that Cunningham wasn't available. I don't see how that has anything to do with Cohen getting out of the field, though. And you only have two running backs, and you can put them both on the field, especially when you don't have any real wide receivers.
Wait, hold on a second. Right. He went with the Benny Cunningham excuse?
Which is nonsense. And, you know, Glennon threw the ball 40 times today. Our receivers, wide receivers, came up with 9 catches for 82 yards. So when we are down in a desperate situation inside the red zone and now inside, you know, goal to go, and you know, obviously, our receivers are almost incapable of separating, why wouldn't you put the one player that we have seen all day evade coverage and make play after play after play after play, whether running or catching the ball, on the field? He did not. He was not on the field, I think, 6 out of the last 7 plays of that drive.
Yeah, and I think that's inexcusable. If that's what you guys have been talking about here today, I completely agree with you. He, and all the players in the locker room, very clear. I mean, Cohen is the playmaker, and this is a team
that we've been talking about this now for years. After all these games, this is a team that doesn't have many playmakers, and yet you were able to add one here in Tariq Cohen, and he had a great game for you, both catching the ball and running the ball, and you couldn't find a way at the end of the game to get your playmaker the ball, and it's inexcusable. I completely agree with that. So I thought we would see a little bit more creativity there at the end of the game. You know, they practice 2-minute drills and goal line situations in Bourbonnais every single day, and we saw some creativity from time to time in those drills. And unfortunately, game one, when you have an opportunity to score, it wasn't really there.
And it's only it's only highlighted by the fact that we love Jordan Howard. But Jordan Howard couldn't catch the ball off and on all through last year. Why was he on the field in a pass route when half the time he can't catch it? And unfortunately, it happened again.
No, fair point. That was definitely his weakness. He was a Pro Bowler last year and he deserved it, but his one weakness was catching the ball out of the backfield. I imagine that's a big reason why they went out and drafted Cohen.
Adam, simple thing that should have happened is that when you were talking about goal line situations, whether it's the 20 going in, the 15, the 13, the 10, the 7, the 4-yard, whatever you want to do. Okay, there's multiple sets to run from, multiple sets to pass from, and different personnel is used. And they run through these. And then when they get to the home opener that week, they've got a set plan. This is who we're going to use. If we're in the 20 and it's first down, go. It's going to be this set, or they're on a 6-yard line and it's third down. We're going to have this set in there. Well, obviously, Cohen was not involved. So offensively, apparently they didn't think that he was the man to be in that situation, because there's so many different offensive sets running and passing. I mean, there's a ton of them, and this kid wasn't involved. So there you go.
Yeah, and you know what, too? I want to bring up a couple plays before that. I think it was with about 21 seconds left or something like that. They called their last timeout.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I didn't like that. I would have preferred they clock the ball there. You have time to take shots at the end zone. You're close enough. And I think having that timeout, that would have allowed you to potentially run the ball in that situation, too, at least once if you had the timeout in your pocket.
Right. It's happened. That's a staple of the John Fox era. Football 101, for whatever reason,
doesn't get used. It's crunch time.
It's very basic. What did he have? He didn't want to throw anyone under the bus, Adam, on the blown play that allowed Hooper to run free.
The 14.5 second 81-yard touchdown.
Danny Trevathan was going nuts on the field because he was upset that they didn't have the right call in there. What do you got on that play?
Well, John Fox admitted they had miscommunication, which, duh. I mean, everyone could see it before the snap. That he admitted that, but then he was asked a follow-up, why didn't you call a timeout then? And he said, well, we didn't realize we were in disarray until 81 caught the ball.
Obvious.
Never should have happened. Going in this game, offensively and defensively, what they got confused on what defensive call, what defensive, we're going to blitz, what we're going to do, a revolver, whatever it might be. They didn't know. You want to know why? Because they never practiced it, Adam. They don't practice these things.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Unfortunately, that stuff does happen throughout a game. It certainly shouldn't, but when it does, it's on the coaching staff to realize that when your defense isn't even lined up against Matt Ryan and the best offense in the league, I was actually surprised Matt Ryan didn't snap the ball earlier because they weren't even lined up.
Right.
Bears defense. You got to call a timeout there. It sucks when you have to burn a timeout like that. You got to practice that stuff so it doesn't happen, but you got to burn the timeout in that situation because it was obvious to me in the press box, just looking down, that half the defense didn't know what the call was on the field. So, to me, it was no surprise when you had a guy running wide open down the middle of the field.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There was no question. I mean, they had 3 to the right, 2 to the left, and they only had two defenders out on the three guys, you know, and then you could see the linebackers were like screaming and trying to get people in place. So to me, yeah, you're right, Adam. It's a no-brainer, but that goes back to what we talked about.
Glenn, that never should have happened. You know that.
I know.
It just never should have happened.
It shouldn't have happened because the coaches should have been able to see that. And again, you just burn a timeout. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was only 3rd and 8, right, at the time.
Not at this level.
No.
Not at this time.
In a 3-point game.
You got to have it. You're getting the ball back, and it's only a 3-point game at that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm getting at. It was I was mocking, you know, that they didn't burn the timeout.
But,
know, it just look. This is this will be John Fox's signature here in Chicago. Just a team that will play hard, but the coaches don't know how to finish games or put their players in positions to at least try and win a game.
Adam, we're up against Hurricane Irma updates that we've been doing. Anything that we're missing before you go?
The biggest thing in the locker room, other than what we've talked about, Jarrell Freeman, your defensive captain, was not made available to talk to media over that play. Apparently in the concussion protocol. So that's another injury to watch this week as the Bears prepare. Speaking of the hurricane, we don't really know what's going to happen with Tampa next week.
That's true, too. Adam, great job as always. Reach at WGNradio.com.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Well, we ran a little bit of problems. We had Benny Cunningham leave, did not return. He was there for emergency. Jordan was banged around a little bit. So, that was a little bit of an issue today as far as the substitutions.
So, okay. That's John Fox talking about why Tariq Cohen wasn't involved in.
That didn't even make sense.
So, little Dan, why didn't you do your homework? You know, I saw a car driving by the house, and there were three guys. It has no relation to what the question was. Is why wasn't the best playmaker we have on the field?
Hoopa.
Who cares about who else is hurt? Well, play the guy. There's 8 seconds left.
Well, but then he makes it worse though, because he says that Jordan Howard was banged up a little bit.
Right.
So why was he in the game?
See, I was trying to figure out how that would work with little Dan and the homework, because it'd be like, no, well, I had somebody else doing it for me, but then he got caught cheating or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
His mom called him and
he got caught cheating, and so how was I supposed to do my homework?
Hoopa, where are you? Hoopa.
And if you're just joining the program, by the way, 720 WGN, Hooper, who of course was a star in Jaws, Richard Dreyfuss, You're the Man, but Austin Hooper had the two big catches today against the Bears. So Hooper,
third leading receiver in the NFL this weekend,
is Austin Hooper
with two catches. 128 with a tutty.
We as a team, we set the standard here, guys.
We make stars.
That's right. Come hell or high water, we'll get them all on the top.
What was it, an 81-yard touchdown run? Literally, that was like a 12-second touchdown run. He caught it, and he thought, oh, no, I'm going to get caught. And then he just stiffed
off. Hey, Glenn,
the guy
he just ran by
him.
Michigan Avenue here at the studios.
Actually, it was 88.
Hoopa!
Was it 88 yards?
It was 88.
Whatever it was. I mean,
your number.
He's still running.
He's running, and he's like, man, somebody's going to catch. Wait, I'll just stiff arm him. Well, I guess I'm going to have to score now.
One thing with Adam's check in there, what he said about Kevin White and how he's leaving in a sling, and the Bears are saying it's a shoulder, and he's saying that it's a collarbone. I think there's a lot.
First of all, it was his wrist. Do you remember seeing him?
Yeah.
It was his wrist, holding his wrist.
But he might have been trying to hold that back. Who knows? Yeah, no. I'm not even going to guess.
He was holding his wrist.
Yeah, but Adam's pretty confident without knowing anything, but just being around there and figuring out that it is a collarbone, which would mean that he would be done for the season, correct?
Well, it depends.
He doesn't get his check with his left hand.
But he might drop it like he did the slant today that he dropped. That hit him right in the breadbasket.
Do you have any idea how much money this guy's made?
Kevin White?
Well, too much.
It's a standard rookie contract.
Hey, let me ask you this. And okay, so let's go a step further. A collarbone. I never broke mine, but could it be that, like, you know, those phantom nerves or something making you think you are? I don't know.
Could it be the stingers that you would get?
And we're not trying to mock or impugn the kid, but the facts are the facts. He missed his entire rookie year because of a cracked bone in his leg. Then he comes back last year, plays a couple of games and is a non-factor, and then has to leave again for the entire year for some other kind of a stress fracture in his leg. And then now in the opening game of the year,
second
is
catch.
Now unavailable, you know, and for duty. So it's a myriad of, you know, injuries.
And most clavicle fractures heal 4 to 8 weeks.
Right.
So it wouldn't be a whole season.
I know for you, remember when you did it last year in Turkey Bowl?
That's true.
And you made a fantastic catch.
I did.
Don't you remember? So were you able to bounce back in 6 weeks?
I actually had like a grade one shoulder sprain that took me 7 weeks.
3 weeks later, a tennis ball hit him in the shoulder and he didn't flinch.
Hamp, I was going to call you and invite you to come with me to the U.S. Open, but I figured you'd be busy and I just went by myself. But
you watched it by yourself at your house? Is that how you went to it?
Okay. You know, and we heard the announcer when they were talking about Glennon getting sacked on the last play of the game. Okay, so we gave up 4 sacks. The last play of the game was the fourth. Now, their pass rush was an issue at times, but all in all, you know, this offensive line who went through the preseason, I think only gave up 1 sack and I think only had one illegal procedure penalty. The bottom line
is, they didn't play.
Well, I think they played 12 or 13 drives, but the point is, all in all, they were not the reason we lost today. They were okay.
Let's do a quick timeout. We'll got a whole hour to talk to you, and we can break down Mike Glennon. We can talk a little more Tariq Cohen. We can look at the defense, which I thought was a whole lot better today, although that was with strength last year, too.
Mark, this game, I'm going to tell you, we always talk about what's an important game to start out and lose this game and what's coming down the road at us, and we got to play Tampa Bay. We got to come back 1-1. I don't care how they do it. We got to come back 1-1.
720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Harmon. So bad to worse for Kevin White. The reporting all over Twitter right now, Dan Graziano from ESPN, his tweet is this: the fear in Chicago is that wide receiver Kevin White broke his collarbone and will require season-ending surgery. He had played 4 games in 2 seasons coming into today, so that's 5 in what will be 3 years. So out of a potential, let's do the math here, 48 games he'll have played in 5 and made a handful of catches. This was the first draft pick for Ryan Pace. This is a disaster. The Bears need Kevin White. Obviously, it's the worst depth they have on the team.
Especially after the loss of Cam Meredith in the preseason. And you know, again, Ryan Pace has done a lot of good stuff.
He has.
But his inability to – and this is dovetailed with OB's contention week after week after week after week. What is this league today? It's a passing league. And the wide receivers,
else to talk about.
You know, the wide receivers are the gas. And if you don't have them, then you ain't going nowhere. And unfortunately, this kid was expected to not only, you know, flower and flourish, but again, another devastating injury that not only, you know, cripples his career, but now the offense. Oh, we're going to start Kendall Wright and Deontay Thompson.
Right. Marcus Wheaton maybe gets back, wasn't out there today.
He was inactive today.
Right.
So we ain't counting on him till we see him. So, again, you know, the decimation at that one particular position, I don't know why Ryan Pace doesn't say, hey, I can't hold the team hostage. And it's just a matter of time till that we got 9 in the box because nobody's scared of Kendall Wright and Deontay Thompson.
Dan, here and Glenn, Mark, here's the thing. I mean, everybody knows that this is a passing league. I mean, It's not a mystery. I mean, it's like, come on. You're not going to run the football in 16 games to the Super Bowl. It is not going to happen. The rules dictate what the hell, how you play the game of football for 60 minutes. That's what does it. The rules dictate the game. It's a passing league. They don't want that 10-7 game, 3-7, 14-10. They want that track meet, 42-36. It's a passing league. My God, Pace, John Fox, what the hell have you guys been thinking about? This is 3 years, guys.
Right.
We attempted 40 passes today.
I don't give,
and only
nine
were caught by
wideouts. I don't think he's done a lot of good things.
There's one receiver for the Packers who, as a receiving core, our wideouts last year, one receiver caught more passes for more yardage, and he had 14 touchdowns to our 7 for the season as wideouts. Does the word embarrassing, does that pop in anybody's mind?
It should. It should. And look, Ryan Pace, this is his team now. This is his and John Fox's team. This is what they've created.
Well, you can't
He's
hide
on
this
clock.
One.
They're both on the clock. Fox but, more so than Pace. But Pace hasn't done much more, in my opinion, either. I he's done some good things. But you can't miss on your number ones like he's been missing.
Well, and beyond that, again, as OB says, it's a passing league. Okay, you got to have a quarterback. Okay, duh, Captain Obvious. We got
you got to have five guys to keep them upright.
Well, but more importantly, somebody's got to catch the ball. And it can't be, you know, dump downs to check downs to the backs and 8 yard hitches to tight ends all day. You got to keep defenses honest. You got to take the top off them and keep the safeties off, and that's got to be done by wide receivers, which we don't have any.
Well, and they listen, the way they've gone
Isn't
about
amazing?
Constructing the Not roster
day
guys.
And age.
They've got a bunch of tight ends cuz they don't have wide receivers. They just cut Jeremy Langford, who had at least for a moment there, he was a shining star. They picked up Taequann Mizell, who was an undrafted free agent out of Virginia, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm assuming they're just trying to create some depth.
Well, then why don't you put Cone in the slot and start working him as a wide receiver?
Maybe
okay,
that
in,
means,
in a proactive
Could you
way.
Imagine that kid in the slot? Put him in motion, and you're the weak safety?
You got to cover
Or the weaker
that.
Strong yeah. side?
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
A linebacker, and you got to cover that guy?
Yeah.
Why didn't we have that package ready to go in game one? Now it's like, okay, well, we better do it now.
Dan,
all else fails,
well, because
we'll do
John,
something
John
obvious.
Fox told us because, you know, Cunningham got hurt.
That's what I've been saying. Offensive sets, whether you're on which side of the 50, what yard line. My God.
It's all matchups. But, yeah, your point that started this whole conversation is real simple. Ed, you pointed out that, look, the Bears don't have any wide receivers. That's the bottom line. No matter how you slice it and dice this, they don't. You know, the right kid is the best wide receiver right now, and he was. They picked him up from Tennessee.
And
it's like going to a target range and bringing knives.
Right,
you ain't got the right weapons.
Yeah,
what was that, Dan?
Going to a target range
and bringing knives.
You're bringing knives.
Is that the guy that goes through?
Yeah.
Well, a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also worth mentioning because there's going to be some narrative out there about tough luck. Well, Cam Meredith got hurt. You can't plan for that. Cam Meredith's not a number one wide receiver.
He's not about tough luck.
He was a project that was a quarterback undrafted.
And turned out to be a pretty good player.
He was a find.
Right.
Mark, at this level.
But he should be your three.
The whole thing's
at
not
best,
about tough
he's
luck
your three.
Or yeah. bad luck. The whole thing is about knowing what the hell you're doing. That's what it's about. Sure, you're going to have bad luck. You're going to have some good luck. But how about knowing what you're doing on both sides of the ball?
And construct a team and piece it together in a way that it makes sense and you actually win more games than you lose.
That's, oh, boy.
And that's the other thing. Like, one more on that. Well, and they got, you know, look what happened to Kevin White. You can't plan for that. Absolutely, you had to plan for Kevin White not being on the field. There's no way you should have been relying on that guy.
Okay, after that
in
first
case
year,
point,
you should have.
If he would have been rookie of the year, then you can count on him.
Sure.
He's never done anything, so why would you count on him until he shows you something different?
Right.
Think about it.
Exactly. I mean, I'm listening to all this.
You know, it's like Shane McClellan couldn't get off the line of scrimmage, but every year, oh, he's going to be a pass. No. He's gone, you know, and And again, we hope Kevin White, it's only reports, we don't know for sure, but if indeed he is out, wow, what a box of hurt.
Collarbone injury, so, and they're reporting.
Well, for sure, he's injured. It's yeah. just to what level. He right. is injured because he left the game, you know, and he never came back. He is injured.
Ian Rapoport has him going on injured reserve. Dan Graziano of ESPN says he needs season-ending surgery for the collarbone. On that note, the defensive star of the game is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Hampo, what do you got?
Chevy loves Akeem Hicks. And, yeah, he made a costly blunder hitting the quarterback late that enabled them to continue a drive that, you know, was a difference in the game. But throughout the first 40, 45 plays of the game, he was almost unblockable. He had a lot of pressures and had two sacks. If we can get a bunch of other guys play like that, with that kind of effort, we ain't going to lose.
You know what, Dan? Where was Bullard? Boy, I was expecting he put a little bit more weight on, looked like a little bit more svelte, and he was getting off the ball in the exhibition season, how little he played. But I'll tell you what, today – he was missing in action, Danny.
So was Eddie Goldman.
Oh, my God. And Eddie Goldman couldn't get around the center.
Yeah.
He couldn't get around the center.
Kemix with the contract this week, 4 years, $48 million extension, 30 of that was guaranteed.
Freeman had 10 tackles today, too, so let's not discount what he did in the middle.
But
it's nice to
that
have
that kid's
him
always
back.
An automatic.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Freeman,
you
he
on
could
him.
Play for
right.
me any day of the week.
And
that
Trafavian,
kid is a bona fide NFL linebacker.
Yep.
He's damn good.
And yep. Adam reporting that Freeman's in the concussion protocol, so who knows if he'll be available next week against Tampa. Hey, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit Chicago. ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Update on Hurricane Irma coming right up, 720 WGN.
Tariq Cohen in the game, tries a reverse field, gets away from Reed. Cohen sprinting! Oh boy, Tariq Cohen in Falcons territory! What a run! I think Bears fans have a new favorite player. That's 46 yards to Tariq Cohen.
Star of the game. Too bad he didn't get a shot to catch the ball that was thrown to Jordan Howard at the end of the game.
Hey, didn't you hear, though, Mark? Cunningham got hurt early.
Hurt an
and
ankle.
Jordan Howard was banged up, so I didn't want to put Cohen in because, quite frankly, he had 8 catches for 44 yards, a touchdown, and then he had 5 touches for 66 yards. I don't want that guy in at the end of the game. He might make a play.
Benny.
Well, we ran a little bit of problems. We had Benny Cunningham leave, did not return. He was there for emergency. You know, Jordan was banged around a little bit. So, you know, that was a little bit of an issue today as far as the substitutions.
So we benched Tariq.
So I'm going to not play the only guy that's healthy and was scoring.
Before we get, we got a hurricane update coming up here in 2 minutes here. But, Hamp, real quick, what do you think's going on with Kyle Long?
Well, obviously, he's not healthy. You know, this is the face of the franchise, and he's not playing. Why? Well, either they did not correct the problem with his ankle in surgery, and now there's some pushback. He's not healthy. He doesn't want to play till he is healthy. I think it's getting very complicated because, you know, when a player agrees, hey, I need to be fixed, and you're not completely fixed, then there's all kinds of, situations that pop up. And we don't know yet. But I tell you what, it's caused some trouble with the offensive line. Grissou started the entire preseason. Today, Whitehair moved to center and started for the first time at center all year. And Compton started and played all day at left guard. So it's musical chairs right now until he gets back.
And Whitehair had some critical penalties during, especially early on drives that took him out of, you know, second and 3.
Well, he had
and
a holding call it, and yeah. then a bad snap, which is two big negative
back-to-back plays, yeah. right?
Hey, save up to 70% during the floor model clearance event at American Sale. That's right, 70% off beautiful patio collections and swimming pools. These are the lowest prices of the year, hundreds in stock, and ready for fast, free delivery in 1 week. Huge discounts on floor models store-wide. Save up to $1,000. $1,000, yes, indeed. On hot tubs, the floor model clearance event going on now only at American Sale. But hurry, the sale does end soon. 9 Chicagoland locations, American Sale. Bring the fun home. 720 WGN. We will hear a little bit more from what's going on inside the locker room coming up here. I know that, Kaz, you always love when we get sound out of the locker room in the Bears' 23-17 loss to the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, John Fox, he, you know, really, the truth is, well, let's get to the hurricane coverage, but you know what? My dog ate my homework.
Yeah. Well,
hey, guys, you know what? The bottom line, what the hell happened here today? We lost a game, our home opener, that we could have won. Period.
End of story.
We could have won the damn game, but we didn't. That's the bottom line.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on the show here as Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, with you until 6 o'clock. It's interesting with the hurricane, what's going to happen with Tampa Bay, who the Bears play next week down in Tampa. Will they be able to host the game? If not, where would they go?
You know, I don't – what did they play today?
No, it was suspended. They were playing in Miami originally.
So they're going to be there. It's going to be their first game, OB.
So that game might even be suspended.
No, I mean, they'll probably move the game.
They're going to play it somewhere.
They're going to play it somewhere. You know, there's a chance they may play it here, potentially. I mean, I'm just speculating, but you know what? You got to play somewhere, right?
I mean, if you're Tampa, right, where would you go? Well, maybe New Orleans. They're playing the Patriots noon kickoff next Sunday, so you'd have to play it, I don't know, Saturday, if you were going to do something like that. And the same thing with Atlanta. The Falcons are home as well. So I don't know what they'll do. I really don't. I mean, it seems to me, Hamp, that this is an edge for the Bears, who have learned something, you would think, today and going into week two.
Well, and quite honestly, if you looked across the league, you know, Pittsburgh sputtered out of the gate. New England, they never did anything. A lot of times the first game, there's a lot of question marks that have to be answered. And getting a game under our belt and realizing these are things we did well, and these are things we need to work, yeah, it's a big advantage. But didn't I just hear this thing's gone down to a category two? I mean, that's just going to be a bunch of rain. I don't see how.
But I think it's already gone through Tampa, though, already?
Yeah, it's almost there.
But okay.
They're going to play.
It's a bad storm.
I mean, they'll play the game. It's just a matter of if it's going to be in Tampa or if it's going to be. We'll see.
Well, yep. Right. I would assume that they'll play the game
in
Tampa.
As my kid said, they're pirates. They like inclement weather.
Right.
It's not going to scare them.
So, okay, if you're just joining the show, let's just get you up to date. Kevin White reportedly is going to need collarbone surgery, might be out for the year. The Bears lost to the Falcons 23-17. Tariq Cohen looks like the steal of the draft after week one. And Mike Glennon, I was actually hoping you guys are – I don't know if you're going to agree with me or disagree, but I was hoping that he would be terrible and we could move along quickly to Mitchell Trubisky, because that's clearly the plan. But he wasn't, so I don't think that's great for the Bears.
He didn't lose the game for the Bears today.
You know, he's
actually
good.
He put him in a good position.
Okay, now here's the thing. And, you know, being a defensive player, we live to put people up against the wall and final drive and get after. It was a 16-play drive he put together. Think about that. You got to do it. I mean, there's no punting and getting the ball back. Hey, it's now or never. 16-play drive. Those don't happen but once a year. And he put it together and got us down in the red zone. And then it's goal to goal. And from the 5-yard line, we were incapable of making anything happen because of our personnel. Come on, quite honestly. Jordan Howard can't catch the ball. Josh Bellamy drops the ball. Yeah, we don't have anybody to make a play. Oh, wait a minute. We do. Oh, that's right. He wasn't on the field.
He was on the bench, though, because Cunningham had an
owie ankle, and so we got to make sure we keep him on the bench.
He was rubbing Benny Cunningham's ankle, apparently. But
I don't know.
So what does that mean if you go – let's just say for argument's sake that Mike Glennon continues to play well. You just drafted this guy number 2 overall. You gave up multiple picks to get him. You're a rebuilding football team. How does that help you if he sits for most of the year?
Let me tell you something.
Aaron Rodgers sat for a while. He turned out okay.
Mark, and are we forgetting that the Bears went out after last season in the free agency to find the best quarterback available, and they went after Mike Glennon and paid him $45.3 million, guaranteed $18.5 million this year because he was going to be our quarterback. And they brought him in. He's working with the players. Everything's fine. Then they go to the NFL draft, and they invite Mike Glennon to the draft to show him off at Soldier Field. And what do they do?
They draft a quarterback.
Trade up.
They draft the quarterback.
They trade up. And
wow. How embarrassing.
OB, I was sitting there watching him. I was 10 feet away from him.
That poor kid walked out of here.
Folks, Mike Lennon was in a state of shock. How embarrassing is you bring him down to show him off, he's your quarterback of the future, and you're paying him this big money, and lo and behold, you move up in a draft, and you draft the quarterback. Dan, you told me that kid was he was shocked.
It looked like he had seen a ghost. And, yeah, I felt sorry for him. I really did. And, you know, we all said, what are the Bears doing drafting up to get this kid Trubisky? Well, obviously now we've seen what Ryan Pace saw in him. He's got a special something. But it would be like, you know, you buying a nice used car, and then the next thing you know, you go home and your wife's bought a brand-new Chevy Dually. You know, and you're like,
and
well, what are you doing?
Those Chevy Duallys are unbelievable.
Yeah. But honestly, you know, all that being said, but okay, we didn't do it today. But just think about this. What kind of a defensive nightmare package would it be if Trubisky was able to be utilized much like, you know, think about this. We scored our first touchdown on the Wildcat. Remember?
Yep.
Cohen got the snap and then handed it off to Jordan Howard. Come in with a Trubisky package where, as you love this, OB, all the bootlegs and quarterback rollouts and reverses and all that. Boy, that would have been nice. We would have seen a lot of that in the preseason where we know what we're doing. So when we get in the game, we could bring him in, and with his great skills of getting out and throwing so accurately on a dead run, which you don't find. I mean, just think how hard that would be for a defense to match up and stop. Oh, wait a minute. That's too smart for us to do.
Hey, Dan, they just didn't find this out about Cohen, how he could run, how his quickness and all that. They knew that coming into the game. I mean, come on. That's an absolute joke.
I love that plan, though, in theory. They play both quarterbacks. You get them experience. Let them do it.
Guys, listen. The 49ers beat us in the 88 championship game. But in the game here, they would bring Steve Young in for Joe Montana, and he caused a whole big dimension of problems that Montana didn't.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
All right, I'm going to read you guys a quote here. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, with you for one more half hour. My name is Mark Harmon. Okay, I'm going to read you a quote, and you guys tell me who said this. I swear to God, I felt like I lived a lifetime in my head when the ball was in the air. I'm not even kidding. I think I blacked out for like a part of it.
And then I
caught it, and I felt like I was on autopilot. I was present in the moment. But honestly, I just remember going in the end zone after I stiff-armed somebody. And seeing all of my teammates in the end zone. I saw it on replay, and it sunk in, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
I had the answer for you, and that answer would be Hoopa. Hoopa.
Hooper.
Hoopa.
Austin Hooper blacked out.
You say Hooper, I say Hoopa.
Well, is Hooper ever going to have a greater moment in his NFL career than he had today?
That was just like a big,
that's a Saturday Night Live
long
thing.
Run.
Here comes Hoopa.
Oh, man, that's...
The hoopster, just getting it done.
So we make a star out of another guy.
Yes.
Austin Hooper, 22 years old. All right, let's follow up on what Hamp just went with, team. The old two-prong quarterback attack, get Mitchell Trubisky in there, along with Mike Glenn, who played great today, but, you know, you're not going to spend the number three, the number two pick in the overall draft in a season where you're rebuilding, in theory at least, and not play him. I think it's a great concept.
Well, let me tell you what. For years and years and years, that system has been tried many, many times. More often than not, more often than not, that does not work. The Cowboys tried it several times and failed every time.
It does. I mean, it's look, if you're – there's a point in the season where maybe you could start doing that. And with John Fox at the helm,
you change it
may be like week 8 or 9.
All it is about confusion.
Right, right. But I get
surprised.
The,
I get it would the, be a good thing, yeah. You know, to bring him in every now and then. But boy, to have two different loyalties on an offense, you're loyal to this quarterback or you're loyal to that quarterback. Who do we want? Do you want him in a situation or do we want the other quarterback? You don't want that. You want everybody on the same page.
But normally, though, here's a normal process, too. You get a lot of you're number one. You bring him along and you get him reps with the number ones during the week. You limit it, but you do get him reps, and he's working the regular offense, so he does get the different looks. That's all.
I just look at it like –
I just don't trust the Bears coaching staff to do that.
You need playmakers. Mike Glennon, I think he proved today at least that he understands the offense and will do his best to not turn it over and will check down all day long and dump it off to the backs.
He showed he was capable today.
Right, but he's never going to be a playmaker per se. And Mitchell Trubisky, we saw in the preseason, he has that capability.
All I'm trying to say is, in a conventional offense with two bona fide starting wide receivers, all that being said, then it may be something that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go there. But today, with this offense being so impotent, especially on the outside skill level players, then you got to be creative, and you got to find ways to convert first downs, and different packages makes defenses have to do a lot of different things, and you want to be as unpredictable as you can, especially when you don't have an over-the-top group of talented players. Now, think about this. You know, the tight ends we have, and they're all competent, but there's no Pro Bowlers, and we don't really have any Pro Bowl offensive linemen playing. And really, you know, at some point, if we don't threaten defenses, if we don't keep safeties honest, and we don't back people off and make corners have to at least, you know, get a 6-8 yard cushion at times, they're going to walk up and jam us and collapse the right. entire field in our laps. Unless you have some kind of way of backing people off and a quarterback that's mobile and accurate, that's able to get out. I'm watching over here in the corner of my eye. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson going at it, and very few of their passes are in the pocket. They're making things happen on the edges because they, you know,
they have good defenses.
Yeah, and they're collapsing on them, and they're making plays on the outside. We play these defenses. Mike Glennon's not going to survive.
Let's let me read something to you guys and see. I want to hear a reaction on this one too. This is from inside the Bears locker room. Running, according to Rich Campbell, the Tribune, running back Jordan Howard declined to speak to reporters. In contrast, running back Tariq Cohen's media session went so long, a team spokesman shut it down. Jordan Howard dropped a ball that could have won the Bears a football game today. Yep. He's in the locker room after week one, and he doesn't talk to reporters. Now, you guys all had, obviously it was different for you, Hamp, with...
He's a different kind of cat. And you know what? He's just a real private, humble guy. And obviously he's heartbroken about... You know, the fact that he dropped that potential game-winning touchdown pass. So, you know, hey, I give him a pass. And you know what?
Okay.
Nobody ever said you got to come out there and spill your guts, you know, after you blow a game. But, you know, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe he'll say, hey, you know, it's on me, I did it, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the kid, he's a quiet, humble guy, and he just didn't want to have to go there.
And you're still going to need this kid. He's your one Pro Bowler.
Right.
On your offense.
I just, okay.
The only one on the team.
right now.
On some level, part of being professional is you take the good with the bad.
I get it, but he's still a young guy. You know what? I got you.
Well, here was Tariq Cohen real quick.
I've really been looking forward to it, you know, having Coach Dow use me in every way he would like to, you know, get me out in the slot, split me out wide, you know, just to do all the things I can do for this team. I knew it was coming, you know, it was really in the game plan, and I felt like I would have a good matchup the whole game.
So he knew right there, that's interesting, that he knew he was going to be used.
Except for at the end of the game, when they needed him most.
Yeah, do we have anything?
I don't feel any type of...
Do we have anything on the end of the game? Did he say anything about that, Rick? What do we got?
I know we have a lot of playmakers all around this team, and just because I'm not on the field doesn't mean that a play can't be made. You know, I know the OC has tremendous confidence in everybody else on his team, just as he does myself.
You know what? He just made a very true statement. This is professional football. It's the NFL.
Yeah, you're supposed
it doesn't
to have...
get any higher. I mean, not unless they're playing somewhere on Pluto or somewhere. I don't know. But this is it. And if you're in the running back, you catch the the pass, you catch the ball out of the backfield. Your receiver catches the damn football. So no matter who's in there at this level, you got to perform. That's simple. No matter who, what.
Well, and he's not going to throw his teammates under the bus.
Unlike, no, of course not.
So I just because, well, but that's amazing that the fourth round pick say, but you know, it's okay. I wasn't out there. Somebody's else got to make a play. I mean, nobody knew that at the end of week one that we were going to say we can't live without Tariq Cohen on the field, but that was the reality today.
Well, no, in this
well,
game,
that's what I'm
no,
saying.
No, in this
they're there
game.
Now. Oh my God, they're professionals. What do you come on already? Yeah. Stop making excuses or looking for whatever. It's right in front of you. It's professional football. You're here. You're paid a lot of money. Make the damn play.
And they couldn't. That's what it comes down to. But
bingo.
Point being still is the same thing as the way the game flowed. This wasn't going to be a power running series at the end of the game. It was going to be a passing series at the end of the game. So you try to put your best players out there that fit that situation. Normally. I mean, that's what NFL coaches do. On the other teams I watch.
And quite honestly, you got to know your personnel, the players that are capable of making the plays in that situation. And obviously, him not being on the field was a huge detriment to what we could do as an offense.
312-981-7200. That's the phone number. We'll take our final quick timeout here. And, well, actually, that's not true. We have one more after this, but let's take a quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Ryan, pressure. In trouble.
Hooper, where are you?
Let's it fly deep. Wide open is Austin Hooper.
Hooper!
Stiff arm against Dex. Hooper is gonna go! Touchdown!
Hooper!
Great job, Dan Long.
Hooper.
Austin Hooper.
Get it done.
Making things happen. We got to play that one more before we get out
he
here.
He blacked out, he said. He just blacked out.
Hooper blacked out. He couldn't believe it. He stiff-armed Quentin Demps. And then
well, you said I just stiff-armed somebody. Yeah. And then next thing I know, I was in the end zone.
And then he stiff-armed Kyle Fuller.
12 seconds later, he was in the end zone.
Quentin Demps.
Well,
after
we put another
88-yard
another
romp.
Receiver in the Hall of Fame.
Hoopa!
We put him on the steps anyway.
So, all right. Let's go. Anybody else that we didn't give credit to before we get another update here on Hurricane?
I gave credit to the whole team, and I did. Those kids played their heart out. And nobody changed my mind on that one. They played their heart out, and you can't take it away from them. Not one guy was overly over another guy offensively or defensively. They just played damn hard for four quarters. Very proud of them.
I guess from my standpoint, I'm thinking maybe I like Eddie Jackson. I like the rookie. He looks like he belongs. He had one decent
Hooper right over him too. By the way,
it wasn't as bad though.
Yeah, well, Hooper put a little shake and bake on him a little.
I got high hopes for Eddie Jackson. I think that's they took Alabama kid knows how to play.
Seffrey's never gone up against Hooper.
He hadn't gone up against Hooper. Tore his ACL, fell in the draft. Bears took a shot at him. It looks like they got a winner there. All right, quick timeout. Let's bring Bob Kessler in here. Our final update on Hurricane Irma for our show. We'll, of course, all night on 720 WGN. We'll be keeping you up to date. But actually, my bad.
What are you saying now? Because you just confused me.
Roger Badish is in the newsroom.
John Fox.
He's got an interview. He's got an update on Hurricane Irma.
Hey,
Mark,
one time before we go again.
Yeah.
They have to win this week against Tampa Bay. This is so vital a game after what happened today, you can't believe it. They can't put another bad year together like this. They've got to win.
We got a whole other segment to preview the Bucs in week two.
Third down and three. Ryan, pressure. In trouble.
Hooper, where are you?
Let's it fly deep. Wide open is Austin Hooper.
Hooper!
Stiff arm against Dex. Hooper is going to go. Touchdown.
Hooper!
Hooper, Hooper, Hooper. I like saying that. Hooper.
One thing we didn't know coming in today, that Jaws would be so prominent.
It's amazing, isn't it? And who would ever thought that Hooper would have such a huge role in today's game?
22-year-old Austin.
This guy, I'll guarantee he'll be on somewhere along Saturday Night Live in some football sketch or something. That name, Hooper!
So the Bucks are up next here, OB. That means Jameis Winston, who's a problem.
I mean, yes, he is.
It's a massive challenge for him. Jameis is, Mike Glennon certainly knows him well. He sat behind him for 2 years, never got
Evans,
on the field.
Mike Evans, a real big problem on the outside, hard to cover. Great tight end, too. I mean, it's a good team coming in.
We got to win that game.
Or we're going down there, I should say.
And we're going there. So, I mean, I don't think the Bears aren't going to be favored in this game. They're going to be about a 3-point underdog,
I would assume. Which is, like, even. But, yeah, I mean, look, this is a game. Ed's right. You hate saying week two is critical.
Because of what's happening, 3, 4, 5, the first 8 games.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've we go better, we could be looking at 0-8.
Yeah, they have a rough – I believe the first 4 to 5 is really rough.
Glenn, that's why I'm saying this game is so damn important.
Right.
Guys, coaches, you better put it together. You better put it together.
1-3 sounds better than 0-4.
Okay.
Even though it's not much better. I'm just saying, it's a mindset almost.
I'm saying I'm like the elephant. I don't forget. What happened last year? We lose at Houston, and then we got to win. We got to beat Philadelphia. They got a rookie quarterback. On Monday Night Football, they beat our brains out with a rookie quarterback. So I understand. It is, but it's easy to talk about it. But Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and that offense and their first round draft pick is a super fast wideout. I can't remember his name. They're pretty good. They're big defense, middle of the pack. But this is going to be their home opener and their season opener, and it's not going to be easy. And we've got to be better. Your point, OB, about the average gain per pass play is huge. And even though Glennon didn't lose the game, we averaged 4 yards per pass play today. Four yards. They have,
That's
Atlanta
safe.
Did nothing, and they almost averaged 10 yards a pass play.
9.6.
We've got to be more explosive and be able to stretch the field, because it's only going to get worse if we don't.
You said the perfect thing. Stretch the field. Throw it down the damn field.
O.J. Howard is the wide receiver out of Alabama that Jameis Winston's going to be throwing the ball to. So that's yet another weapon for the Bucs. The Bears did get pressure today, at least at times, right? I mean, you're not going to want Jameis sitting back there all day.
Well,
yeah, but he's a little better at scrambling than Matt Ryan is also.
That kid will take off on you. So containment, who's ever got containment, better go as deep as the ball. Don't be trying to play games and go inside, think you're going to be nifty. You get ate alive.
Some of the reaction from the text line here. One from the 773, you guys aren't yelling at Carmen nearly enough. Thank you very much for that, sir.
Carmen.
Love Dad.
Hey, it's the opener. We've got 15 more shots at him.
Who's that, your brother?
It was his father sent that.
That was Carmen Sr.
It was Hoopa.
That was not... That was not Hooper. Right. And thank you very much for that. That's the only text I'm reading. You need to yell at me more. Bruce Lee had a motto. I'll read one more. Pain is temporary, training like you're dying, necessary to win. So that was their perhaps the lack of preparation resonating with our texters today.
It's true. Right. This team was not, and the coaches didn't prepare them, and they played hard, but, and losing, still losing.
They play their hearts out, and we didn't have the right situations for 4 quarters, especially in the last quarter, and that's not acceptable at any league, at anywhere.
But, Obi, you off the top of the show, you were so proud of the Bear fans.
You damn right.
They came out, and they raised it all day, and after the dismal end of last year when we had 30,000 no-shows, that was great to see. The team has got to respond. We don't want to go through that again.
That was the number one thing I said. Well, number one was for, Irma, but the thing, the Bear fans, oh, my God, they were great for 4 quarters. And, again, not to talk in circles here, but, boy, those kids played their hearts out.
Guys, great to be with you today. We'll be here, of course, all season long next weekend at 3 with the noon kickoff down in Tampa. And we'll enjoy more good food at a tasty price from Mr. Submarine. Locations throughout Chicagoland open late at night. Visit MrSubmarine.com. Dive.
Okay, next week it'll be Hoopa and Mark.
Hoopa
and Mark.
You guys are taking the week off. I'll be doing the show with Hoopa. That would be rough.
If he doesn't black out.
Right. All right.
Next thing you knew, he's in the end zone.
Final timeout. Brian Noonan coming up next, 720 WGN.